says, well, that looks fine. He said, now, we ought to get this thing all refined. We'll make this plate so it's not in air, but it'll be put in close so that there's no air can blow through it and so forth. And we made it hyper, what I'd say, a hyper set to do this thing over again. And of course he was tremendously enthusiastic, and we did the so-called experiment, which was when we published it, it all started the rest of the world on this thing. But I was a little disappointed, and I'll tell you the truth about it. There were so many things. We had four different things that we could do, different phases of this problem. And each one was sufficient to make a paper. And so we wrote four papers. And I'll tell you what happened. As I said, we got there just before we went out there, and we had our first baby, and I was home tending the baby when he came into my where I was, and said he'd be looking over all this work to be done, and he said, "You'll have to use one of these for your thesis. It can't be with anybody else." He said, "So I will be take the third paper, and you can take the next one on your own, and I'll sign the first one." And then we went down on four different things that we published at that time. Well, now, because of that story, it got out from the students at Columbia, at Chicago, that Millikan had sort of put one over on me because he got the Nobel Prize essentially by that first paper. But he had a lot of other things besides that. But that is the story of Millikan and I. Maybe you've heard it before.
The Arnold and Steinmetz from GE came out to see this. They both started working on the vacuum tube. Right after that, they went for 20 years trying to get patents for the vacuum tube, and finally the Supreme Court decided that there wasn't any patent involved. It was just a matter of a vacuum.
Taking the air out.
Yeah, taking the air out of something that had already been developed after all millions of dollars of lawsuits. Well, that's very interesting. Our time is up. One thing more to encourage these students. I heard you flunked physics the first time you took it at BYU. Is that a true story?
Yes. But I don't think it sounds so bad if I tell you the true story. I didn't come to the BYU to get an education. To be frank, I came here because all the rest of my schoolmates in the eighth grade came here, and I wanted to come. I knew some of the girls, and I'd like to see them. So I came over, and I came up to the desk to get some information. What courses did you get? What classes did you get? This may sound funny to you. I hadn't looked it up in some catalog or somewhere. He says there's two courses. One is to prepare to be a teacher, and the other commercial. Teach you how to run a store, or things like that. I thought a bit about it, and I said, what's the price of this one? You learn to be a teacher. And they started, and then I said, what's the price of the one to be a commercial course? And I think it was about $12 or $15 more. For the commercial course. So I'll take this other. That's how I happened to get in the academic course to become a teacher.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming here and talking to these students.
Dr. Fletcher, we want you to know, and as you can see from the students, how pleased you are to have had you here today. We appreciate your sense of humor as well as your knowledge on the subjects you've talked about. At this time, we'd like to ask Dennis Williams, a building construction major, also the secretary of the NEHB AGC, to offer the benediction.
Our Father in Heaven, as we come to the close of this delightful assembly, we wish to thank Thee for the opportunity we've had to be here, for the opportunity to hear Dr. Fletcher, and to enjoy the experiences that he has had in his life.